Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
What an obedient lot. Just have a seat just for a minute. As you're sitting down, get comfy, not too comfy. I'm now going to step out in the spirit of faith. I don't think I've seen somebody change a lifestyle deliberately so much for a very selfless reason than my wife. From someone who is busy anyway, looking after loads of other people, but to get up early, go to the gym, go swimming, do an 8-hour a day walk, which is like, you've got to be joking me. I walk to the car and I walk back. But what God has challenged me with is that when we love something enough, we change something. When something grabs our heart, it must translate into a change of action. So I have been utterly impressed, proud, and challenged by my wife's Olympic training behavior. And there's a cost to it. But I think if we value something, there should be. So particularly if you're here for the very first time, you are very welcome. But to be part of the kingdom of God, there is a cost. There is a challenge. There is a stretch. But let me just encourage you that the King of the kingdom did all of that for you first. So Jesus, in my understanding, and we'll look at it in a little bit, never asked you or me to do anything he hasn't already done way further than we've done it. So I just really resonate when Sharon said, you know, this isn't just a walk on the wall of China and there's 40 people going. We're expecting Jesus to be in the middle of that. There's people from all kinds of cultures, backgrounds, financial kind of status, but we know Jesus is at the center of it. We know that the wall of China represented whatever it represented, but we know Jesus is going to be at the center of it. Because you don't do things like this just because you think it's a good idea. You do it because God has said, go, because I'm going to go with you. So if anybody wants to invite me around for dinners, you don't have to. Because I'm always well catered for. Because not only does Janet love the babe, this young person, I've met her a few times, I can make her giggle, laugh, and her sister, we get on really well, but she's only two, I think. But actually, she loves me. So I've never, ever, ever, ever not had food, partnership, comfort, conversation. So there's always a cost. There's always a stretch. We've had to reschedule some of what we do, but it's worth it. So why am I saying that? Because as we've been looking at the kingdom over the last few weeks, hopefully we come to realize that there is this tremendous offer. It is a one-off offer. It's a universal offer. It is a powerful offer. It is a contrasting offer from what we had to what we can have. But we can't live with the offer as though we did without it. There's change. As Richard mentioned, we had a really good lighthouse, really good open house yesterday. And interesting situation there. As we were leaving, there was an ambulance turned up. And if any of you know Colin and Isabel, you'll know whether you know them or not. But his ambulance turned up, and obviously, you know, it's a little cul-de-sac. There's probably 10, 12 houses around the little bowl of it. And there was an issue there. We just prayed, okay, Lord, let your will be done. We had no idea. And a dear friend, she's saved, isn't she? Yeah, so this lady's given her life to Jesus a few years ago. She was in her 80s. And she went to be with the Lord yesterday. Now, you might think, well, that's a bit odd, but what we were talking about yesterday, open house, is although there's a whole load of unsaved people there, there's people there that believe in all kinds of outrageous stuff, they've stayed there because they love the people enough to believe God to change them. They're not just turning up because they happen to live at whatever it is, number 2C close, but actually there's a destiny there and there's a call there. And there's something that God has put in their hearts which they're beginning to ebb and flow with outside of their lives. We had a great time. There was, I know, about 10 there. It was one of the smaller ones that we've had in terms of open house. But I was just saying to Annie, it was really powerful. The level of kind of connection, relationship. If you don't think you have a friend, it's your fault. I'm not trying to dump something on you, but we believe that we're in a kingdom of friends, family, one for another. So there is always stuff to go and do and make friends. The biggest challenge, a bit like Janet having to change stuff and review stuff and reschedule stuff, is that we want change, but we're not prepared to change to get it. And if we want friends, we sometimes have to do something different to get them. All right? There is no one here that can't be a friend to someone. It just isn't possible because God has put us into this tremendous dynamic called faith and called love and called relationship, which He models for us. I think it was awesome. Yesterday at Open House, we kind of chatted a bit. There was more bacon there than you could shake a stick at. Blokes, we need you at these open houses, right? We miss Robert being around. He was driving back from Dorset. He can normally put a little bit of bacon away. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, there was half a pig there and a whole thing of bread there. And it was like, there's like Josh, me, we were having a go. Colin was, enticed the dog in bad habits. There was all kinds of stuff. But we just need more blokes to come to an open house. So please come, make a friend, be a friend. All right. Ladies, we love ladies as well. It's not a sexist comment. Ladies, they're brilliant. You can't live with them. You can't live without them. They're awesome. They're great, brilliant, fantastic. But I am now in trouble. In for a penny, in for a pound. And my love is so intense. I just feel so poof this morning that I even love Shane and Marie, especially this morning. I love that they're Australian. I love the fact that they actually do know how to play an 80-minute game of rugby. You've done really well because that's the first comment you've actually made since you've arrived. I was expecting you to come with a shirt on and a rattle. Well done. We love you. Don't be too restrained because Shane is awesome. I actually sabotaged his car this morning. I didn't tell him. I didn't really. Shane, we had to find Shane. Shane went on a walkabout. I don't know what, that's what you guys do, isn't it? Walkabout, right? Okay, so Shane was on a walkabout. I don't know where he was. Somewhere between here and Perth, I think. I have no idea where he was. We sent Sharon out. Sharon was out there because she's a woman of passion. It's like, you know, where's our Australian friend? He's somewhere. So I suddenly realised that Shane isn't where we thought he was. So I was phoning Sharon. And every time I phoned, interestingly, her bag rang. It was like, that is extraordinary. How can that be? How can it be? Every time I ring Sharon's phone, at the same time, her bag spontaneously rings. Well, I didn't have to, but I thought I would. It was amazing, the coincidences of God. Have you noticed that? Anyway, Shane's here, mate. Good to see you. Win the World Cup. What I want to just share some thoughts on today, again, is in the kingdom theme. We're looking at that for these next few weeks. We've already looked at some of the culture of the kingdom. Last week, we were looking at not living in the do's or don'ts, the legal. It's like, I must try so hard in order, but actually live in the done. Jesus said, it's done, it's finished. How many of you found last week helpful? Just put your hand up and encourage me, even if you didn't. How many of you found it kind of helpful? Actually, it's right. It sets you free from having to try and live law. Particularly if we've come out of a culture where there's a lot of restrictive practice. Every other religion, apart from Christianity, is very law dominant. If you don't do that, that happens. If you want to do that, do this. How many of you are really pleased that Jesus came and set us free from all of that? Just four of you. The rest of you, that's fine, that's okay. But I'm so happy to be free. And today, I've got you cover for my iPad and it's not behaving itself. Chuck it away and get another. There we go. So today, I want to talk about another aspect of the kingdom of God. A few scriptures have come up behind me. But before I get into kind of the core part of today's message, I just want to give you some more really exciting news. China is great. A small groups have started brilliantly. We've had some great times at the small groups. If you're not in a small group, why not? You can work that out yourself. But get involved with small groups. If you want to get involved with a small group, speak to Andrew. He's another good-looking man, like the rest of us over here. He hasn't got a beard, but we are praying for him. Just get involved in a small group. But I want to talk about another initiative, which someone in the congregation has really heard from the Lord. They're excited. They're passionate. And that is Liz Rose. And Liz wants to begin to have a bit of a kind of a kingdom expression out on the streets. Now, we already do an element of that, mostly through the term time, which starts tomorrow. So for the next three Sundays, for the next three Sundays, we're going to be welcoming a whole bunch of students down here from the Bible school. They're going to kind of come round, check out all three locations. We can check them out as well. And then from the first Sunday of November, which I think is the first, we'll actually have a team of students kind of allocated to Worthing, which would be great. It'd be brilliant. But how many of you know, actually, that they're not the congregation? We are the congregation. They actually come in to reinforce what we do, not replace it. But it's going to be great, and I know they're going to fit in. But Liz has kind of been praying and chatting about how do we kind of, as church, take this great good news of life in Christ, of freedom, out on the street. And we do that a little bit in term time, as I mentioned, mostly on a Tuesday. But she just felt, actually, Sunday afternoon, I go down to town a lot. She obviously lives in town. She walks through town a lot. And there are hundreds of people in town on a Sunday afternoon. So she chatted with one of the leaders, and we kind of said, yeah, let's support this. And let's see where this goes. Let's see how it captures people's hearts and their faith. So next Sunday, from 12 till about 12:30, if you want to find out more about, what does that mean? How do I get involved? What's kind of the expectations? Then please meet up with Liz in the United Room, which is the room just around the corridor here. And she'll kind of explain about how that's going to operate and function. Generally speaking, it's going to be a couple of Sundays a month in the afternoons, as I've mentioned, and primarily based in the town centre. So if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about that, then let's encourage Liz. And let's kind of test the water a little bit. Is that okay? So if you want to make new friends, there's about 114,000 of them outside the door. If you want to love people that may not love you back, which actually is good, there's about 110,000 of those out there. If you are freaked out at the whole thought of, I don't think I can do that, then help rewiring your thinking is good. Because you've only never done the first thing once. When you've done it, you've done it. So if you're afraid of, I don't think I've done that before, have a go. Everybody talks to people all the time. Okay, we just do it. So have a go. Is that okay? So that's the 11th of the week today, from 12 till about 12:30, meet up with Liz, and she'll explain more about it. Is that all right? Good. It's good to have Andy, Claire, and PJD here this morning. I thought I'd embarrass you right at feeding time. That's not deliberate. I do apologise. So it's great to have Poppy here. Andy is going to be coming down, hopefully with Claire, as much as that's possible. Andy's going to be around about three Sundays in four. He just wants to invest in our J24/7 team. So we've mentioned that the last couple of weeks. If you want to get involved with that, which is noughts to 11s, chat with Andy before you go over a coffee, over a tea. I know there's a couple of guys that are at baptism service right now that are coming straight back here because they want to get involved with it. That's commitment. I like that. So if you want to get involved with that, J24/7, we love it. We believe in it. So have a chat with Andy. Not now, though. If you want to have a cuddle as well, it's 50p. And you can pay... Yeah. No, it's a pound. With Poppy, it's 50p for a cuddle. With Andy, it's a pound. Okay. And you can just give that to me directly. That's absolutely fine. If anybody's got a couple of spare guitar strings, then they can give them Josh. So let's just have a look at something in the Word, shall we? So last week we looked at the kingdom of righteousness, peace and joy. And in the same kind of message, we were looking at Jesus said this in John, in the same way he was sent, so he sends you and he sends me. I think that's a challenge, but I thank God that we can raise ourselves to the challenge. And we were looking at what does that mean, and I mentioned three key things. First one was this, that we're the first to offer forgiveness. It's a strength to do that and not a right to do that. James speaks about confess your sins one to another and you will be healed. So taking that first step actually is a good thing to do. Well-being is for our whole life and it's expressed in our bodies. And then right, and then joy is this indomitable bubble of faith and expectation that is expressed in the way we live. So we looked at that last week. For those of you that weren't there, you can listen to the message again on Kingdom Faith website, watch and listen. But today, I just want to spend a few moments, and then God wants to heal some people this morning. Okay, well, I've got agreement on both edges and one in the middle. That's good enough for me. God wants to heal some people this morning. And we're just going to look at another dynamic of the kingdom, which is this connection that the kingdom of God is light and life. The kingdom is light and life. Just turn to the person next to you and say, the kingdom is light and life. If you didn't see their lips move, say it again. Until they do. So the kingdom, we can look at this first scripture. If you've kind of had a Bible around, pretty much any kind of version, you're going to get the gist of this. It's right at the pointy end of the Bible, just past the index. And it's in the book of Genesis. And it says this, in the beginning was God, and then God said, let there be. Isn't it encouraging that before God puts shape or form to anything, he switches the light on? I'm so encouraged that when I gave my life to Jesus, before he did what he did in my life, he first put the light on of who he was and who I could be. How many of you, when you're searching for something, you've lost something, you're longing for something, how many of you would look for it with the light on? How many of you, when you're kind of searching, seeking, maybe it's a long-lost friend relationship, you want to be enlightened. You want to see. I think that's the nature of God's life that we were born with. But the dynamic of God is that God switches the light on. He says, there's a light. There's such a brightness of light here. One of the things that I was going to try and organize, I just ran out of time, is I thought it'd be really cool if when Richard got round to say, right, let's welcome here, is that we switched all the lights off. But I just forgot. And it's too late now. You can still do it. Yeah, we could have some kind of concert, get our phones on and do this. But now I thought, because part of the point was going to be, so imagine it's all dark and then suddenly I'm standing here in the dark and I'm just talking to you. I mean, some of you might actually, thank you. Some of you might appreciate that, but God doesn't work like that. God doesn't come as a voice out of the darkness. He actually comes as a voice out of light into darkness. So let's just look at this scripture. It's going to come up behind me. Thanks, Laura. It's from John 1:1-3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses have a whole different translation of this in their really dodgy Bible, which is why don't read it. All right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word, big W, was with God, and the W, big word, was God. Through Him, all things, say all things. Now, does that mean there's anything that wasn't made? Right. So all things were made without Him, nothing, say nothing. See, we probably get more of an understanding of what nothing is rather than all things is. Because we get nothing. What we don't get is what does all things look like. All things were made, in Him was life, and that life was the... Andrew, you're on it. Go to Andrew's Bible study, small group, is brilliant, wisdom wins. Get in, even Josh is going, he's smarter already, look at him. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Here's the thing about this light, though. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, or cannot, or will not overcome it. I would love a torch like that. So what we're seeing here is this kingdom, the kingdom that Jesus came with and as and for, came not into a place of shade, but into a place of darkness. But because of the nature of the light, the darkness could not overcome it. Is anybody excited at all? Is anybody breathing first? Let's start with the basics. Anybody breathing in the room? Excellent. I'm glad we got some people from Walton on Naze here to bring us some Essex culture. Get in. So the light of life came in Jesus. What does that kind of mean to us? Well, I've just had some thoughts here. The kingdom of light and life and even the kingdom of glory or goodness are actually all the same kind of word. So when Jesus came full of light, he also came full of life, and that life is full of his goodness. The Bible says, taste and... I love it first that I can touch before I look. Unless you try tasting something without touching it, in which case you're just weird. Taste and see that God is good. I can remember doing that. What a great experience. Life changer. The nature of God, therefore, is pure, clean, penetrates, it's glorious, it's indistinguishable. I could have had to have two goes at spelling that. It's such a long word. It's life-giving, it's revealing, it's good, it's the koinonia of God. There is such a lightness in the life of Jesus. Hello, good baptism. Amen. Moving on. So this light, this life, came with no blind spots. Now this kind of follows on from last week, is that when we're living as kingdom people, with this light on the inside of us, with this life on the inside of us, with this glory, if you like, on the inside of us, one of the things that can appear as if it's not quite right is where we have blind spots, preferences, opinion. Let me summarize it this way. Anything that starts with I, me, or us. Because this light, kind of like my wife is demonstrating, is not about me, or I, or us. It's about him, and him, and you. So this kingdom of light first shines in our hearts and says, you just got to get yourself sorted out a little bit because you're living in less than God wants you to live in, but God has provided an alternative and it's called salvation. It's called life. Then the light comes into our life like a flood, the Bible says. Jesus floods our lives with light. And we become like Belisha beacons flashing around in the world that we're in. And the darkness, the world, if you want to put it like that, looks at you and think, what has happened to you? All that's happened is that suddenly the lights come on. Is anybody, a few of you are nodding. You're having a sleep? Or you agree? Okay, that's fine. That's all right. I'll just check in. Sandra's having a snooze, bless her heart. She's been working hard. So this light, this life comes, so it penetrates our hearts and our minds because God wants us to live in light as he is in the light. How many of you can remember giving life to Jesus? I can remember what that was like. Just me. Okay. It was brilliant. It was awesome. It was like everything felt light. Weights came off. Issues came off. Worries came off. The sense of self-preservation came off. The woulda, coulda, shoulda mentality just disappeared. Sorry, it's a... Did you explain that? Okay, is that right? Sorry. No, I didn't hear it. So this relationships that we now live in as people of the kingdom, if we've received this kingdom, is that we don't have to live with blind spots. Eggshells. Well, we can't talk about that because everything... Oh, let's let the light of Jesus come into our hearts. In 1 John 1 it says this, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. No fear, no jealousy, no pride, no envy, no anger." God didn't give us the light that had any of that in it. In it. There you go, more Essex. I'll tell you, we are in it. Is that this light that Jesus came as doesn't have any of that in it. It's just purity. Passion. No fear in this light. No sense of performance pressure in this light. There's no self-justification in this light. Because this light is pure and good and life to all who put their trust in it. It goes on in this same scripture, "There is no darkness at all." If we claim, and we all make claims, don't we? We might not register at a bank and make a claim, but we make claims on our time, we make claims on our money, we make claims on our preferences, we make claims on our going in and our coming out. We all make claims. We all do that. Everybody does that. But here's the challenge from the word. If we claim to have fellowship or koinonia or relationship with Jesus, if we claim to have such a relationship with Jesus, then we must have that same kind of relationship with the people sat next to us, in front of us and behind us. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm not making this up. The Bible says this. It says it in this way. If we claim to walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Implication is, if we don't walk like that, then we don't. So one of the things yesterday in this open house setting, I think, which was why it was so powerful and connective, is because we get on. It was open. There wasn't any no-go areas. You know, even when we start talking about end times, I'm braver now than I used to be. Christmas is coming. What I'm saying is this, is that as we give time to live as people of the light, darkness issues must flee. As we give ourselves to be open, honest, not with some axe to grind, let's get the axes out and let's smash them up. Is that as we seek to live in the light, one with each other, like Jesus is with us now, particularly, well, this is true if you've received Jesus. If you haven't, then you're still looking in rather than the light looking through. You can give your life to Jesus this morning if you want to. He's here for you this morning. And he certainly wants to give you his light and his life and his glory, the same as he does with everybody else. It says, "We have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus." Woo! Aren't you thankful? I am. That when Jesus puts the light on and says, "Sort that out," his blood comes straight behind it. It's not just Jesus having a pokey, pokey, pokey so I get bruisey, bruisey, bruisey. No, Jesus was bruised for me. So his light comes and says, "Sort that attitude out. And if you confess, if you repent, the blood of Jesus will wash it away." I love that God. He's not just saying, "Sort it out, you've got a rubbish issue, and come back when you have." He says, "No, sort it out. And if you ask me for help, I'll sort it out for you and with you. And here's the blood of Jesus to make him as white as snow and as clean as a clean thing." Woohoo! That's why there's always a connection between light, life, and the blood usually is in there. God will always bring the light on, as I've said, before change. Because he loves you too much to leave it as you are. Because of compassion, that means I'm not going to send flowers and say, "I'm sorry you've got a bad attitude." But I'm going to come in your life and change it into a good attitude. Aren't you thankful that Jesus was more than sorry about my sin? Because being sorry means you send flowers. Being compassionate means you come yourself. So in my life, in your life, in our lives together, as we grow and as we prosper, saying sorry is the forerunner of releasing compassion. Because I want to move in light. And I want to express this light like Jesus expressed it to me. which is, he didn't just say sorry, he came into my life to change it. Thank you, Jesus. Has anybody, we got any believers here today? Got a few. Good, we'll have a few more by the end of the day. Ephesians 5 says this, for once you were in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord, or the light of the world. I think that's brilliant. All this time that you and I were kind of staggering through life, trying to make ends meet, trying to do the best we could, suddenly the light came on. It's like, I need to get myself right with God. And we looked at that last week, and he put us right with God. And now he's saying, I'm now sending you as a light into the world. I'm not going to tell him I'm a Christian. Your face tells them. I'm not going to share the gospel. Your life is the gospel. I'm going to hide in my room until I'm sick. Then you're an idiot. Because this kind of light cannot be hidden. Oh, we're like a city on a hill. Read your Bible. It doesn't actually quite say that, but I'd forgive you. You just shine wherever you are. Poor old Shane, his Toyota breaks down. There's a whole story there about Toyota. It won't go there. But as he's walking up the road, he's shining. It's a Daihatsu, isn't it? Something foreign. It's whatever. He's still shining, even though the darkness, if you want to put it that way, things were trying to stop him coming, but the light overcame. Stuff happens. Things don't work out how we think they should, but the light in you always overcomes the darkness. What happens if you go in a dark room and switch a light on? Does it get darker? Only in your head. I'm not going to let Jesus in my life because he's going to show me stuff I don't want him to see. He's seen it already. He just wants to come into our life to change it. Not say, So if we were once in the darkness, but now we are the light in the Lord, live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. What an adventure. What an adventure for these next 6-7 days. What pleases the Lord? I'll give you a few clues. Seeking him, finding him, living for him. That'll please him. Faith pleases the Lord. But faith without obedience is dead. So I can't just believe I believe. I believe. No. I've got to live out my belief. Come out. I need to go to Jesus. Go to Jesus and say, as I'm in the workplace or at home or with friends or with family, you just need to ask the question, what would Jesus do right now? Because just asking that question, you'll get an answer. In my experience, God has no issues with questions. We have issues with answers. Should I forgive this person, Lord? He says, oh yes. I don't know whether I want to. Well, you shouldn't have asked the question then. So God has no issues, and we have no issues with asking questions, but God will answer us. Have you got that? Because he is constantly, he is the light, the Bible says. So we've received this light, we carry this light, we reveal this light. We're not the source. Jesus is the source, but we reflect it. We're the reflectors and the revealers of this light. Colossians 1:13 says this, for he has. This is a past tense event. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us, past tense, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, I know lots of speakers fiddle around with tenses and, you know, Greek verbs. I get all of that because I read it, okay? But the point is this. In this one scripture, you have both past tense, present tense, and future tense. This is something Jesus has done. This is something Jesus has done today. And this is something Jesus will do tomorrow. Because light travels.
Hallelujah.
We don't have to live under the light of yesterday's success or failure. We don't have to live carrying around stuff. Because what this tells me is today, I can get rid of it for you. Today, my light is so strong, so powerful, so dominant, that if you come to me, man, I'll remove the stuff that isn't light. So what's kind of our challenge? What do we do? Well, I kind of found a scripture. Some of you would know it. Some of you may not know it, but you're about to. Because this is our response. Isaiah 60. Arise and shine. Now, you might be saying that to teenagers right now. I have no idea. 5 minutes before the bus is going. I don't know when they're supposed to go to work. But the point is this. In the light of the reality that the kingdom of light has now come to earth in the form of Jesus, who said, I am the light. If you have received Jesus, then you are also that light. And this arise to me means, man, I can live above my circumstances. I can rise above my issues. I can stand above the things that want to defeat me. I can stand above those things that I'm afraid of. It's not just about getting up out of bed in the morning. It's about living above the world that we're in as lights to the world. Here isn't about being a light to the world. It's where we get charged up. It's where we scrub the bulb of our life a little bit if it's a bit dirty, so it shines a bit more brightly. Poppy, nice one. So today is about this. It says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord, light and glory, rises upon you. Then it looks out into the vista of life. See, darkness covers the earth. We know that. We know the world is a dark place. But we also know that you and me, the church, the body of Christ, is the indistinguishable light that will change the darkness forever. It's a fact. It's a reality. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. This is either going to be one of you or the other one, right? Your sons will come from afar. Now, afar is not a place like Jaffa, all right? It means it's not here. So they're coming here. What I mean is they're coming to you. Not just to the leisure centre. We're not in the leisure centre now. Not just to the theatre. Time slap. Woo-hoo. Your sons will come from afar. Your daughters are carried on their hip. Check you out. Then you will look. Now just read this bit behind me, because this is you. This is me. First we look, then we're radiant. Because what you look at is what you reflect. If we're spending all our time looking at the woulda, shoulda, coulda, your face looks like it. If we're spending all of our time looking at the maybe, could, your face looks like it. Because what we look at, we radiate. You are lovely. Then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will throb and swell with joy. I think God wants your heart to throb and swell, not with heartburn, but with joy. Not with an anxiety complex, but with joy. Doesn't want it to throb because of fear and worry and anxiety and whatever. One of the things we were praying this morning was, who cares about tomorrow? Jesus is here today. And it makes your heart throb and swell with joy. I almost finished this verse in a little bit because I'm not interested in loads of camels, but some of you might be. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. The riches of the nations will come. And it talks about camels. I mean, you might be into camels. I'm not. All right. They just give me the hump. That's a dromedary, isn't it? It's not a camel. So here's the thought. If you've received Jesus as Lord, you've received the kingdom of light and life and goodness. This synergy. If we've really received Jesus, then we are now the light into the world. And nothing out in the world can quench the light of Jesus. Somewhere, even at the nearest flicker, even at the point where the smouldering wick gets thrown in the bin, Jesus says, come alive again. Even at the point where the bruised reed gets put in the trash, because nobody wants to use it, Jesus says, I'll use that and I'll change it. Because that's his nature. You might be feeling, I was at the prayer meeting this morning, I didn't share this with Richard because I thought I'm going to talk about that. Is that if you're feeling today, God, I don't know, just not working how I thought it would. It's just dry. It's just barren. Today's your day. The light wants to come on in that area. It may be for some of us, I'm just a bit fearful of what's next. Let me tell you what's next. The end. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! I've read the end of the book. I know what happens at the end. We win. Even England has a victory. Hallelujah! Look at him smiling. I know. So let's all stand up, shall we? And just close our eyes just for a moment, because God wants us to arise. I don't mean that we just jump around, although maybe for some of you need to. If you're in Jesus, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, and there's only one kind of Christian, that's a little Christ with Christ in you, then this is true for you. Under your feet is the devil. I don't just mean on it, in it, but under it. So you can stamp your feet a little bit. Let's just do that, because that'd be kind of fun. Just stamp your feet a little bit. Where's Lily? She's good at doing this. You can stamp your feet a little bit, but please don't just do that because I've asked you. Do it now, because that's where your challenges are. That's where your defeat seems to be. That's where your loss seems to be. That's where your lack seems to be. That's where your fear seems to be. Anything that is not light and life and glory is under your feet. Have a little stamp then. Come on, let's just reaffirm ourselves here a little bit. Marie, you are on one, I tell you, come on. That's where your sickness is. That's where your illness is. That's where your pain is. That's where your defeat is. It's under your feet. Come on. Man, I do this a lot. I stamp around. Because I'm mad, possibly. I'm to believe in someone that tells me it's true. So if I believe in that and it makes me mad, then I'm happy to be mad. But I'd sooner do that than go around stamping on people because I've got an issue with them. Do you understand that? So sickness, again, close your eyes, it all goes dark, it's all right. Whatever sickness you have in your body is not your property. It has no ownership. It has no rights. It has no place in your physical. Sickness belongs to Jesus. Actually, he paid for it. And Jesus doesn't make you sick. So don't get that dodgy theology out your head. But sickness is not your identity. It's not, well, I'm a sick person. No, you're not. You're a person that needs to see a breakthrough in that area, that's all. Particularly if it's been going on for a little bit. Oh, well, you know, I resisted it before and prayed before and spoke the word before, but I just deal with it now. Well, we're going to deal with it now. Because it's under your feet. If you know Christ today, that sickness is under your feet. If you don't know Christ today, then you are under its feet until you give your life to Jesus. And we can pray for you and God will do something because he's God of light. But man, he wants you to live in victory, not just receive a victory. Now, this is where we just need to talk a little bit. Only you know whatever it is that you're carrying in your physical. Okay, God hasn't given me a particular way. He's given me one about a knee, left one. God wants to just set free. There's a bit of a pain there. So you're going to get free in a minute. But he hasn't given me anything else. But he might give you something. But I'm just saying to you, the word says the devil is now under your feet. Was that you, Barbara? Thought it was. Sorry, I didn't want to embarrass people, but I thought it was you. Okay, so Barbara's going to get healed in the next few minutes. But I don't know about you, but if there's healing around, then if I need it, I'm going to have it. So just see now, right? This condition is under my feet. It's under my feet. And I'm going to arise. I am a man or woman of light and life and glory. I'm not the plaything of the enemy. I'm not the object of sickness. I'm not desolate, left out, or forgotten. But God sees me at the center of his will and of his heart. That's according to the Bible. May not be our experience, but our experience should also come under our feet. Because actually it doesn't matter a lot what our experience is. I thank you, Jesus, that you have taken us from the kingdom of darkness, and you have, by your force, and we're going to look at the kingdom force one of these Sundays, you have taken me by force and broken every restriction, every bondage, every lie, every curse, every accusation, every wrong thing, every dark thing, every black thing. You wrenched me out of all of those things and put me into the kingdom of light and life and love. You have exercised your kingdom energy, your kingdom power, and ripped me out of the hands of the liar, the stealer, and the killer, and put me into the hands of the one who came to die for me and live for me. That's what Jesus did. He's rescued you. He's rescued me. Father, right now, I thank you. Barbara, receive your healing right now. It's not part of you, doesn't belong there. You don't own it, you don't owe it anything, you're not indebted to it. The debt's been paid, it's been cancelled by the blood of Jesus. He heals you right now in Jesus' name. There's a freedom coming around the ligaments, around the tendon area there. I can see it. You're going to be free. He limps so you don't have to. Jesus limps so you don't have to. That's the truth of the gospel of Jesus. Anybody else in the room that you just got aches and pains, man, you just begin, just affirm that Jesus is Lord. If he's not Lord of your life, then you want to make him Lord of your life, then you come and chat with me or Richard or Andrew after this and we will help you find Jesus. He's looking for you. Jesus says, I have come to seek and save that which was lost. Why can't we find ourselves? Because we haven't got a light. We haven't got a light. I never found Jesus. He found me. Because I can't find Jesus. I can't see what I'm doing, and neither can you. I'm just staggering around doing the best I could. And then suddenly the light came on, and Jesus says, I'm here for you. That's how it works. It's called salvation. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now that you speak to all of our hearts. Wherever we are on our walk and our journey with you, I don't know about anybody else, but I want to come more fully into the light. I want to come more fully into the life and the glory of Jesus. I thank you for every person here. Make us quick. Help us to become quick to forgive, quick to restore, quick to reconcile. Let us be bold enough to be open and honest and bring the light to one another. Father, I thank you that you are building a people of power and of life. And I thank you that you're using us from these days, the rest of this week, whatever we do, you're going to use us to be light. Light. Life and hope. To a people who may be in darkness, I thank you that you, me, us, we could be the only light that they get to see this week. Let's just praise our hands together, shall we? Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Again, if you know Jesus, you can do this. Even if you don't, you can do this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes upon all flesh. Well, if you go ouch when you pinch yourself, you qualify. Whether you know Jesus or not, the Holy Spirit will still come upon you. He will still speak to you. He will still challenge you. He'll still heal you. But he might not live in you, and he can't live in you until you've given your life to him. But he might just say, actually, that's what you need to do next. Great. But Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for a fresh touch of your power, your presence right now. I thank you that you're fueling the light of your life in us again. I thank you for opportunities this week to be the light, be the life giver, be the hope carrier in the world that you send us. I thank you this week that you send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that darkness must flee. I thank you that situations must change. I thank you that crisis must move. Because your light has come. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just thank the Lord? Thank you, Lord, if you're receiving from Him, just thank Him. Come on, you can be a bit more thankful than that if you want. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.